Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagné. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle. I'm telling you, geeks are everywhere, man.
I know. Really,
it's so bizarre to me, because if you told this guy 30 years ago that there'd be geeks in the police department, geeks doing construction, just geeks everywhere, I wouldn't have believed you. But it's true, man. This goes all the way. And in Missouri, too, by the way, which, you know, I wouldn't think would be the bastion of geekdom. But people from Missouri, they got a pretty important alert from the Highway Patrol on Tuesday, asking folks near Gotham City to be on the lookout for a green and purple 1978 Dodge 3700.
Green and purple?
You've got to go deep on this one. I mean, Gotham City obviously is a hint.
Right. There's no Gotham City in Missouri.
Right. But we know about an iconic Gotham City.
That we know of.
That's true.
You never know. There could be a nickname city, Gotham City.
And based on my performance in Beat Migs, I really don't know much about geography.
I'm just saying there's no
Gotham City. I'm saying it with no confidence.
Yeah, well, you should have a lot of confidence, because there isn't. And this is the kind of alert you get on your phone. So this pops up on people's phones. And they realize, whoa, this went to everybody's phones. It turns out that this was a test to make sure that system works, so that you could text people's phones and say, hey, by the way, this is an important mission and message. But instead, it was really just a test that wasn't supposed to go to anybody's phone. But this person, obviously a Batman fan, because you got to go deep, because the green and purple, which if you think of that color scheme, you think of one of Batman's iconic villains.
Lex Luthor.
That's exactly it. Yes. I will tell you, I didn't know that it was an exact make of car, but a green and purple 78 Dodge 3700 is the Joker mobile, apparently.
Joker mobile.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it.
Not really. Yeah.
It was one of the cars that was used in Batman 1989, the 1989 one.
And, oh, okay.
And I literally just watched this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It doesn't really hold up. But, I mean, it's a fun movie.
That's the one with Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was so awesome when it came out, Rev. And you're right. I saw it, maybe not that recently, but I saw it, you know, probably in the last 5 years. And I was like, ooh, man, compared to what movies are today. But this really is what started it all. Back in 1989, this really kicked off the superhero movie craze because of the success of Batman. So we have to thank Tim Burton, Danny. Tim Burton gave us all what we have today.
I like it.
I'm shocked you're not a big Batman fan because of that.
You know, I got dragged to those movies when I was a kid, and I didn't want to go. So it was just one of those, like, I had, like, a real aversion to... I think that's why I don't like any, like, superhero movies.
Who's taking you to them?
My uncle.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he's
Uncle Rico.
No, Uncle Paul.
Talking about his old football career. Yeah. I don't know why. All of a sudden, Danny's Napoleon Dynamite.
That works for me.
Yes. When was the last time you saw... Because it was the first two, Danny, that Burton did. When was the last time you saw those?
Oh, I mean, since I went when I was a kid. I mean, wow. I'd probably rewatch them just to see what it was. I mean, I kind of remember them, but it was one of those like, yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't gone back just because of being such a big Tim Burton fan that you kind of want to go, you know, sometimes you want to just make a big dive into everything that someone has done, and that would be a big part of it.
No, and true, and it's one of those, I think that, just for me, it was just such a, I don't want to go see this movie. I hate superheroes, and they would, like, make me go watch it, and I just was like, I'm done. I'm done with all of it.
I can't blame you, Danny. If you're dragged, I was that way about Westerns, and so whenever a good Western comes out, everyone goes, dude, you don't understand, or you ought to watch Yellowstone, or you know, Longmire, watch all the, and I'm like, dude, you don't understand. I hated this growing up. All we ever had on in my house was Westerns. I wanted to watch anything else, and they forced me to watch those damn shows. And so even today, like, you know, the greatest Westerns of the world, which there's some good ones out there, but I'm like, yeah, I'm with you on that.
That's funny, because for me, it's the historical, like, war films.
Oh,
and yeah, Star Trek.
And Star Trek.
That's all my dad wanted to watch.
So specific
it
on
was,
that.
It was, though. It was, like, war films and Star Trek. I'm like, gosh, enough with this.
Which is such an interesting, you know, choice because I mean, Star Trek is like the Space Navy, so in a way.
Space Navy,
so, yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if there was an actual purple and green car in Missouri that looked exactly like that, and they were just like, why is everybody calling cops on me?
That's funny.
I almost want a car. I want to get a car that looks like that, actually. I kind of like that color scheme in a weird way, man. Because it has the green hubcaps. I was like, that looks kind of cool. I'm not going to, you know.
That could be your thing, man.
Might be my thing. Next car I get, I'm going to say, hey, man, can you get it in purple and then green hubcaps? Can you do that for me?
And what if, like, you dress like the Joker? Or maybe, like, you just dress like all the different Batman villains.
I used to dress. He was my go-to for Halloween. I dressed as a Joker multiple times.
Oh, I was talking about for Wednesday or something.
Yeah, like I was that. Expecting you to be like, oh, I used to dress up all the time as the Joker. Well, it was totally normal.
Yeah. But it was, you know, before superhero movies were cool. This is even before the first movie. I was just, like, a Joker fan. I loved his look.
Yeah, super hipster over there.
Yeah, I was. You know that. About it, Rev. And Kathy dressed as the She-Hulk, and they're finally making a TV show about her. But this was like decades before. When everybody watches She-Hulk, they're going to go, isn't that what your wife used to dress like in Halloween in the 70s? And they're like, yeah, that was her, baby. Yeah. Wow.
Formal events, you could be like the Riddler. You wear that little suit with the question marks all over.
Oh, I love the Riddler, too. The Riddler is actually my favorite of all of them.
Or the Penguin.
But here's the problem with the Riddler. You know, he wears a skin-tight suit that your boys are just... I don't know how Frank Gorshin's boys weren't on display. And I'm afraid to go back and look because maybe they were. I mean, it was super skin-tight, the Riddler suit that he had back
then.
Even
the Jim
60s.
Carrey one was super skin-tight on that.
Yeah, it's just...
At least that one lit up, so it might be a distraction from the boys.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. There's a show called The Boys, but I don't want to see Jim Carrey's boys. I just don't.
Oh, and someone just texted in just proving that we know nothing about cars. Any car guy knows that they didn't sell the Dodge 3700. Pretty sure they were only made in Argentina and sold in South America. In the U.S., they were called the Dart.
Yeah, duh.
Oh, really?
The Dodge Dart.
I had no idea the Dodge Dart was the 3700. Oh, I know a Dodge Dart.
Let me get a coffee in me before I recall my car knowledge, Danny.
I'm sorry.
It's only 6:08 in the morning.
That's fair.
Come in some slack.
It is amazing with everybody on this program, out of all of us, none of us know anything about cars. It's insane.
No, you said all those names and numbers, and I'm like, sounds like a car to me.
Sounds like a car.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Batman, and come on.
Well, Danny, I would say this. Those Tim Burton movies feel very different than a superhero movie. I mean, that's a good reason to go back and watch them. And Rev, you can testify since you watched. His flavor is all over that movie. And it's worth watching the movie because it's Tim Burton that did it. If anybody else did it, I would say, why bother? It doesn't hold up. But you can, you know, just to be able to see how Tim Burton works and what he would do in a superhero movie is pretty wild. Especially Batman 2, which was nuts.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, Danny DeVito is massively disgusting Tim Burton style.
I think that was the thing, too, is I think they used to give me, like, nightmares.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, yeah. And that was before Christmas, so, yeah, I can see why that was a problem.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Setting me up.
Thank you, Steve.
See, I didn't start having nightmares until they unveiled the nipple Batman suit with...
you're absolutely right. Yeah, it was like, those nipple some, man.
I don't know if they were nightmares or just lucid dreams.
Oh, dear.
All right, then. We got a guy in a high-speed chase who refused to stop Why? Well, he had to finish his burger. That's why. Steve will tell you all about this. He's got the Migs Report for you at 620 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9 KISW.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
99.9 KISW, The Rock of Seattle.
If you're hearing an informative newscast right now, well, then you must not be listening to BJ and Migs. Live from the KISW News Center in downtown Seattle, this is The Migs Report.
Well, thanks, you guys, and thanks to Kia Puyab for giving us The Migs Report. And today is our day, everybody.
What happened? What's going on?
It's National DJ Day. So maybe you're on the radio.
Woo!
Maybe you're a wicked, wicked, wicked DJ. Maybe you're a DJ that hits play.
That's right.
That hits play.
Okay, they do more than that. I'm a fan of that style of music, but I can laugh at it.
Yeah.
Just stand there, look all serious. Put that finger up in the air and lower it down and just do what the DJs do.
I'm going to go classic Kraftwerk. Yeah.
I'm like, and then,
nice.
Look out.
There we go.
You do your Kraftwerk thing with your skinny tie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And your
Europe Express.
And your pocket calculator.
Oh, I'm the operator.
Oh, my pocket calculator. Some would say this conversation's rather cheesy, and that's okay because today is National Cheese Lovers Day.
Oh, okay then. The only time I'll like Green Bay.
What's your favorite cheese? But really, do we need to?
Oh, well, I do like a good brie.
Oh, all right.
I like blue cheese because it annoys people.
How does it annoy people?
Some people think it's disgusting.
Really? Blue cheese is tasty.
Like, it's funny, whenever I order chicken wings, like sometimes you find out about friends that you didn't realize. And they're like, oh, I just want ranch. Blue cheese is disgusting. I'm like,
wow.
Give me both.
Well, you know their children then.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, that's Ted Smith.
Oh, well, you can't. I mean, Ted, you know, Ted's not exactly what you call a blue cheese connoisseur, is he?
No.
I love sausage.
He loves sausage.
All right, well, I mean, you can't hold that against him.
Ted likes hot dogs.
He loves hot dogs.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
Ted does not like
blue cheese.
Blue cheese.
Summer gold.
And blue cheese.
For a limited time.
Oh, wow.
Flowing from the tap into my sky.
No reason to play that other than it just showed up in my box.
I actually forgot about that. We need to play that more. I mean, how do you not get a smile on your face when you hear Ted belt that baby out?
Summer gold.
There we go.
Woo! Yeah. For a limited time.
In the winter.
Flowing from the tap into my sky.
Winter gold. Oh, you know, in those cold winter months, man, this is the song we need.
And if you have headphones on, it's in stereophonic.
Yes, it is. Oh,
sausages are fantastic.
All right, well,
enjoy your cheese and your DJs today, everybody. And also your hamburgers, at least if you're this one person in Louisiana. Cops in Louisiana had to pull over a guy. I guess he failed to turn his high beams off when they were coming from the other direction.
Oh, that's so annoying. I hope they gave him the death penalty.
Right, cut off his fingers at least.
Yeah, jeez, that is annoying.
So he blinded the cop for a second, so the cop turned around, tried to pull him over. This guy's name is Alan. He's 37 years old. He didn't pull over. Turned into a high-speed chase. He went through a 25-mile-per-hour zone doing 60 at one point.
Oh, that ain't good.
Flew through 6 stop signs in a row.
That is also not good.
I mean, thank God nobody else was coming. That would have been awful. Yeah. Finally, he pulled over when he got home. He didn't even stop for any point. Just waited until he got home. So he stepped out of the car. What was he doing? Eating a hamburger.
All right, cops
the cops were like, well, why didn't you stop when we were trying to pull you over? He's like, well, I didn't stop because I just bought this hamburger and I wanted to finish it. That was his actual answer.
That was the answer, wasn't it?
Yes. He also said that his brakes were out, but they stopped when he got to his house.
Oh, yeah, of course. That's when the brakes magically get fixed.
Maybe he just coasted all the way there.
And what I love is that they hit him with a bunch of charges, you know, obviously driving, speeding, busting through some stop signs, not pulling over into cops, all the things. I guess he was also driving without a license or insurance.
Oh, there's a shock.
And then they also tacked on, and BJ, you'll appreciate this, a charge for not dimming his high beams when he should have.
I didn't even know there was a charge against that. Wow, yeah, there's a law for that. That's fantastic.
So this is the thing. I don't know if you guys ever really dealt with this here because there's really no subway situation. I know we got like light rail and things along those lines. But growing up, one of the big fears, because it would happen from time to time, there'd be stories in the news, is you kind of want to make sure that your back, you wouldn't want to have your back turned towards people and like facing the subway because you were afraid someone would push you into the subway. Like, that was like a big fear for a long time.
Whoa.
And it always comes like in ways where like somebody would just randomly become that person that would just start pushing people into like the well where the subway, the tracks would be.
And
sometimes, thankfully, more often than not, people would be saved. You know, someone would grab them, but there's been times where someone wasn't able to be saved and they would die. And apparently that happened just recently. And so a bunch of New Yorkers are definitely trying to be more cautious when they're waiting for the subway because you're like in a tunnel and all that kind of crap. Well, anyways, there's one woman and they interviewed her. And I mean, it's a crazy way to try to protect yourself, but it's also a genius way. Here she is explaining how she's keeping safe with the news of people being pushed into a subway.
I strap myself and I just wait for the train to come. And once I see that the train is coming, I put the key in, and then I get on the train.
Yeah, she uses a bike lock. Like, the same thing that you use to, like, lock your bike to one of those bike racks.
Dang.
Yeah. So when she gets to the train station and she's waiting for the train, she finds a pole, locks herself to it, and then when the train's coming, she unlocks herself.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's really
what
sad.
What a crazy world we're in.
New York is terrifying.
Like, right? Well, I feel like there was a time, though, where, you know, I remember as a kid, you always had some sort of police or official presence. Like, nobody would pull any crap a lot because of the fact that there was always somebody there. There was an authority that had a gun. And you were like, okay, no. Ever since we know we don't have funding anymore, you just don't have the ability to have people do that. And now you got to go strap yourself to a pole, right?
Dude, I mean, that was happening when I was a kid. I mean, it's like there's the... With how many subways there are, it's impossible to have somebody walking around every spot. And there were times when, like, you were doing, like, non-busy hours. I hated riding the subway because it was just, I mean, nothing good ever came of waiting for a train down there when there was, like, not a lot of people. There's always, it always brought out some interesting characters. And some, I mean, obviously would be entertaining. Others would be terrifying, like this was going on.
Yeah, I was talking about when I was a kid and in Boston, which, you know, that's a whole different subway system. So, yeah, Steve, you may be right that in New York, it's just almost impossible with the amount of... It's too bad. I mean, it really is too bad that, you know, there's not a way to be able to do that without having to strap yourself to a pole with a bicycle lock. Damn.
Like I said, it's weird as all hell, but pretty genius idea on her part to be safe, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, man.
Unless you can't get the damn thing unlocked and your train shows up and you're like, son of a bitch, I'm stuck here.
Wow. Yeah, dude, and then that's a whole different issue if all of a sudden realize, wait, lady, you can't move? There's nothing you can do? And then there's a whole different kind of criminals. Like, I'm going to take your purse and I'm going to, you know... you can't win in New York.
Subways suck.
Yeah.
That's pretty much.
But the light rail is going to be great, so everybody should take it.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
All right, so yesterday we talked about this big emo, pop punk, more emo, I guess Danny told us, festival that's happening in Vegas that's going to cost a couple $100 if you want to go to it. It's called When We Were Young Festival. It's basically all the bands that anyone that's in, like, from 20-something... probably anyone in their 30s really grew up listening to.
Oh, yeah.
And even 40s as well. Well, of course... that there's like a billion bands on this lineup, but then there's some bands that are like butthurt because they're not on the lineup. And I gotta give credit to this one band. I'm not even sure who the hell this band is. This one is definitely not a band that I was paying attention to, but now I'm gonna check them out because I think what they're doing is kind of funny and they're having fun with it. So they're not on the bill. It's a band called I Set My Friends on Fire. Mm-hmm. You know them?
Yeah, they're just an emo band that kind of never really made it anywhere.
Well, they're kind of still emo and they're very emotional over the fact that they weren't a part of the lineup to the point where they're like, they're tweeting tweeting about it. They're bitching about it. They're having some fun with it. But what they did was just pure genius. They purchased the website when we were youngfest.com, which shockingly was still available.
Yeah, of course.
Wow.
Why would they buy that?
And they're holding it ransom until they get put on the bill. I'm sorry, I'll put them on the bill if I'm the festival organizers. I think that's pretty funny.
That is funny. I think that they have whenwewereyoungfestival.com.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what they have. So they probably didn't think about having to get the abbreviated one. And
which is kind of funny. You would think they would grab that as well because, and then redirect it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now they're going to get, the fire people. What are they called?
Set my friends on fire or something like that. Yeah.
I set my friends on fire.
Is that
dope?
Yeah.
I had never heard of that band at all. Wow.
That one idea, I listened to a clip of their song earlier this morning. I'm like, that sounds just like all the other emo bands.
Yeah, you guys aren't seen enough to know them.
It was pretty good.
Yeah. Okay.
If they were on the bill, I wouldn't be mad.
No, I mean
they sound fine. Yeah. I'd rather them than Avril Lavigne, personally.
Ooh, what?
Shots fired.
What? Are you? What? Okay, I'm sorry.
Danny and I were talking during the break just of how funny people are just losing their minds about this festival. Like, some people are just genuinely upset about the ticket price. And my whole thing is like, if you can't afford it and you're mad about the ticket price, then just don't go. Yeah. I don't know why you have to bitch about it.
Well, I don't understand either. It's 70 bands. I mean, how much do you think you should pay for that?
Well, what's the argument? It's like, oh, back in the day, the Warped Tour wouldn't charge $200. But it's like, that was the late 90s, early 2000s. Of course they didn't. Back in the day, if they did this festival, it wouldn't be $200. I think if they did the Warped Tour now, it'd probably be $200.
Exactly. And the Warped Tour was a multi-city tour where the bands got to play 40 dates and get sales prices from each of those, plus merch sales from 40 different cities, whereas this one's one day. They're barely going to get like a dollar for the ticket price and then maybe merch sales.
I want to go just to see the chaos that's going to happen at this show.
I kind of do too, actually.
Because it's just going to be pure insanity.
This is going to be Woodstock 99 for emos.
Oh, man. People better start setting things on fire.
There will be.
We're just going to cry.
We know the band. We have the band now. Set their friends on fire.
Yeah, there you go. Geez.
How ironic would it be that they aren't there and people do set things on fire?
and people actually set their friends on fire.
Okay, well, we don't condone that.
But, no.
Hey, listen, whatever you got to do to get by, right, people?
You know what I do condone? The Kraken winning tonight.
Let's keep
the streak going.
Yeah.
They have a one-game winning streak, BJ.
Yeah, they do. Okay.
And they play San Jose tonight. That game is going to be on Root Sports. The Kraken, of course, are in last place.
Yeah.
But right above us is the Edmonton Oilers. And they're on a massive losing streak right now. I mean, not like the Kraken, who are winning. Yeah. They've lost six straight games.
Oh, they're such a bad team.
But the thing is, like, they should be a good team. This is a team that features some really good players, like Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I'm still bitter because I got COVID and I wasn't able to go to that game against the Edmonton Oilers where the Kraken won. It was one of the best games of the season. But also, as a hockey nerd, Draisaitl and Connor McDavid scored in that game, and it would have been really fun to see that.
Yeah.
But I missed out on that.
You really got effed, man.
But so they're losing a bunch. So press conferences are always never fun when your team's losing a lot. And Leon Draisaitl, who's a great player, but like it seems like he gets very annoyed with reporters, especially if they ask the same question over and over and over. And I can understand that. But there's a moment during a press conference that just happened a couple of days ago that's leading to like people being very polarized with their opinions. Like some people are like, Draisaitl's a douche. Other people are saying the reporter's a douche for not just backing off and leaving him alone. So the reporter's a guy by the name of Jim Matheson. He's been covering the Oilers forever. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame for reporters and things along those lines.
Oh, wow. Okay, so he's a guy that's respected.
Yes, definitely respected. But so he asked Draisaitl a couple questions about, like, hey, are you angry, frustrated? Draisaitl gave some answers, and I don't think Jim was happy with the answer. So he asked the question again. And I'll play the audio for you. I didn't even trim any of it because I feel like this is just
let's just make the call.
Right. It's awkward and awesome. And people are either mad at Leon or mad at Jim for how this all went down. So here's Jim asking a question to Leon Draisaitl, not happy with the answer and the hilarity that ensues.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question,
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
Yeah. And Leon leaves the press conference.
I think we're done. I really, I don't think Draisaitl was bad at all.
See, I'm leaning on the Draisaitl side.
Yeah. I mean, look. I don't think that the reporter meant to insult him. I don't know. I mean,
I feel like there must be like this is.
But you
get a vibe of like he's almost just annoyed with the guy. So maybe over the course of a season, he's just sick of this guy's questions.
Here's the thing. I mean, when you say to somebody you're pissy, if you're trying to say, "Hey, dude, you seem to be frustrated," that's one thing. But when you tell somebody they're pissy, it's like you're saying you're being a baby, you're being whiny. To me, I would take that as an aggressive attack from anybody who said that to me. So the fact that Draisaitl was just like, you know, pulling a Marshawn, basically. But still, he wasn't insulting. He gave an answer. But the answer is, when he said, look, we got to improve everything, I mean, that's a blanket way of saying is like, look, we're all not playing well. We need to all step up our game. He probably could have said it that way. But instead, he just says, we can improve everything.
But also, I mean, this is just a minute clip of a full press conference where he was answering questions leading up to that, including questions from Jim. So it was like, at some point, I think he was just getting sick of answering the same question by every reporter. He's like, we're losing. What do you want me to say?
I don't think Draisaitl was the bad guy there. When you tell somebody they're pissy, you took a shot. I don't care. You need to find a better way to ask that question, because who's not going to take that as a shot being thrown at them?
Well, Jim put up a tweet afterwards saying, I want to thank my fellow scribes for having my back. It's not easy out here trying to get a quote or two from players who seem to have no respect for some of the game's toughest questions.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now you're an idiot. So you know what? Take him out of the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, he's an idiot. Yeah, Steve, you know I do my best and bite my lip whenever I talk about sports and sports radio, sports reporting, sports people. They can be such jackasses. They really can be. So Draisaitl, to me, is my hero.
I do love, like, Leon, why are you being so pissy at me? And Leon's like, what? He's like, you're being pissy.
You're a douche. That's why there, Mr. Hall of Fame.
Leon continues to, like, respond to that, and then the guy's like, I have another question. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, that was right. That's when you're like, you know what, dude? Really? Okay.
Maybe you should let the reporters ask some questions.
And even Leon answered it, though. You know, he's like, you think it's okay for them to see you frustrated out there? Oh, I sure do. Which, by the way, I kind of like. It's like, you know, you don't want to, like, do you want to go on the ice with someone who's just pissed off because his team isn't doing well and a reporter's being an a-hole to him? I think I want to stay away from that guy. I think he's going to always just forecheck the hell out of me, cross-check me, trip me, you know, stick a stick in my hee-hoo.
I was always a fan of Leon Draisaitl as it was, but now I'm like a super fan
of
this
guy. I'm
with
you, dude. I really... Anybody in the room think that the reporter was the good guy?
No.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody can. You're telling me that it's like there are people that are on the reporter's side?
Of course. I mean, he's got his buddies.
Well, his buddy, yeah, of course
the other reporters. I don't know if any hockey player is going to be on his side, I'm sure. And that's the thing. You got to imagine everyone else on that team is going to be like, F this Jim guy.
Yeah, this is...
You know, Leon's our dude.
Yeah, man, that's... And you hope the coach really, you know, gives him a 1-2-4 next time he talks to the guy as well, because, you know, the coach usually has the players' backs.
And just real quick, I just wanted to give a massive shout-out to a minor league baseball team. The Houston Astros have a AAA affiliate in... where the hell are they? I don't even... In Sugar Land, wherever the hell that is.
Is that Texas?
Yeah, it's in Texas. Yeah.
So they used to be called the Sugar Land Skeeters, which is already a great name.
Yeah.
Because I think Skeeters is like... Was that for, like, mosquitoes?
Yeah.
This is kind of awesome. But they just changed the team's name, and I can't wait to get some team merchandise.
Oh, no. What's the name?
They are now the Sugarland Space Cowboys.
Oh!
Yeah, how cool is that?
That's very, very cool. Yeah. Well, of course, again, and you said that the Astros affiliate?
Yes.
That makes sense, because the Astros are also about space.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
I love
it. That's a cool way to go about it. And, of course, you know, Houston's down there in Cowboy Town.
If they have an astronaut riding a horse, you know I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, Steve. I think I might want some of that merch. Rev, we know somebody down there who could pick something up for us.
What?
Kayla, our buddy Kayla LaFrance is in Houston.
So maybe she
might go to Sugarland and see what's up.
Might. She has to.
Yeah, that's right, Kayla. If you're listening,
she's
you're going to have to go.
She's a true friend. Otherwise, we're setting her on fire.
Oh, yeah, you set your friends on fire.
She's a rocket scientist, Steve, and I'm not kidding. She literally is a rocket scientist who works for NASA. The smartest person I think I know in my entire life.
Well, it's a lot of pressure on her now to get us some Space Cowboys gear.
I know she can do this. She can make this happen. She's a great kid, except she's a Predators fan. That's the only problem with her.
Okay, Predators fan. At first, she's like, he's a great kid, but she's a Predator. I'm like, in what way?
Jeez, man. Yeah, she's a Predator. Yeah,
no,
she's
versus alien.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, as far as weather, 54 degrees. We have some rain today. Thank you, Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Mechanical, for giving us the Migs Report, and that's what's up.
Oh, we're going to have some rain today?
Yeah, don't be pissy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you being pissy?
I'm being a little pissy, a little shocked. A little shocked about the fact we had rain. I mean, I know the weekend was pretty decent, but still. Here we go again. Yeah. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
Which is the largest species of bird?
A peacock.
No.
Peacock. Wow. A cockadoo.
No.
A rooster.
No. I don't want to know what that first answer was going to be before you edited yourself. I really don't want to know what that answer was going to be. I feel like you. Well, the correct answer is ostrich, not a
peacock.
Peacock. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 6:50. On the Rock.
Today's podcast is brought to you by bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne, who's ready to answer your questions about bankruptcy. Travis, is it true that if you filed for bankruptcy once, you can't file again?
Even if you filed bankruptcy before, you can almost certainly file bankruptcy again. Different types of bankruptcies have different time limits between filings. In Chapter 7, full bankruptcy, you can only file Chapter 7 once every 8 years. However, you can always, almost always file a Chapter 13 case. Chapter 13 cases can be filed immediately following a Chapter 7. They can be filed immediately following a prior Chapter 13 case. Chapter 13 is a reorganization plan, so there will be some type of monthly payment, but it's based on your budget and your ability to afford that payment. So Chapter 13 is an option in almost all cases, even with a prior bankruptcy filing.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.